It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
Thanks for choosing Felger and Maz to entertain and inform you in the afternoon.
E-class.
Felger and Maz. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He declined that player option of $30 million with the intent that he could work out with the Celtics a new deal that might extend over probably over 3 years. That's what the Celtics would have liked to do. He's 33 years old, but they could not come to an agreement on what those terms might be like. You can negotiate with your own free agent, and he has not officially declined it yet. He intends to decline it. And so he's going to head out into the marketplace, and he has a belief, I think his agent has a belief, that there is likely a four-year deal for him at 33 years old. That would pay him significantly more than the Celtics were willing to offer.
Well, so that happened, Maz. Welcome into the program, everybody. Felger Maserati from our Town Fair Tire Studios here in Dorchester. We spent a lot of yesterday talking about... I sort of felt this was coming. We spent a lot of day yesterday talking about, do you want Al Horford back if you're the Celtics? We all said no. Nope. Too much money. They're hitting the reset. Well, you know, what's he really good for on this team? Love you, mean it, but sort of a waste of cap space if Al Horford comes back, and all things being equal, be better for the Celtics if he walked. So we all felt that way. Then right after we get off the show, it's reported he's walking. And I felt sort of how I thought I would feel if I were a Celtics fan, which is, no, we don't want you. Doesn't make sense. See you later. Oh, you're gone? Oh, wait a minute. You don't want to be here? Oh, that doesn't feel right. Like, even though it's better off for the Celtics that he's not here, there's still something that feels really not good about the whole thing if you're the Celtics.
Well, sure. Again, it indicates what type of situation you are, right? That a guy like Al Horford, I mean, look at it in the simplest terms. Guy like Al Horford, near the end of his career, forget the payday for a minute. Just guy like Al Horford, near the end of his career, wants to win a championship. You can't give it to him. See you later. I mean, it's really, it's that simple in a lot of ways. So the lore of Boston over the last 20 years, not in every sport, but generally, has been the winning. Really, that's the whole idea, the winning. You come here to win. We win everything, for crying out loud. This guy's saying, you can't give me that. You can't give me that. There's no point in me staying, money aside. Now, again, I'm looking at it in a vacuum in that context. But to him, the opportunity to win, along with the money, is huge. And when Kyrie leaves, I think a part of him says, I can't win here. What's the point? And I think he's right.
To me, the worst part is you thought he was going to be back? This isn't part of the master plan. Like, this is another thing that's not part of the master plan. I mean, certainly the Kyrie stuff, that's the whopper. But this was sort of one, I don't know, I think the team thought they had in their back pocket. Well, at least we'll have Al, and at least we still have this, and that's the plan. And that's by far the worst part of it. If this was some sort of masterstroke by Ainge, you know, a Bill Belichickian kind of, I'm getting out ahead of it a year early than a year late. I'm going to be cold-blooded and cut a popular player because this is all part of my master plan and I'm in charge.
Logan Mankins.
That's one thing, right? So then you say, okay, Danny's holding all the cards. He's, no, they thought he was going to have him back. They thought They thought he was coming back. And he's gone. He's gone. He doesn't even want to be here. Oh, that feels bad. That doesn't.
It hits you over the head with the reality of the situation, of the reset that is now going to occur, or that they're going to have to invest in the kids and hope that both Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum become what we hope that they will, and that's, you know, top 10, top 5 players in the league in the next few years. And you've seen it. Guys that have been drafted in recent years have developed into that. Giannis probably being the best example, Jimmy Butler another. So it can happen, but, you know, you got to keep your fingers crossed for that. That Horford is out. I don't know how you could look at this right now and say, like, oh, no, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. Nope, nope, all's well, all is well, all is well. It most certainly isn't in terms of this team winning a title anytime soon.
I mean, if I were a Celtics fan, that's sort of how I'd feel. No, we don't really need you. Be smarter to let you move on. And then he moves on and you say, oh, actually, who's going to play that? Who's going to play the four next year?
It's sort of how I feel about Stephen Gostkowski. whatever. And then he leaves. Oh, wait a minute.
I mean, seriously, you know what a void that leaves on
sure.
the team?
Yeah, sure.
Who's going to play that spot?
I don't know. I mean, again, and I worry about it less because I tend to think of it, you know, to me, the NBA is pass-fail. That's how I look at it. You're either a championship team or caliber team or you're not. And so with Al Horford, they weren't going to win the championship anyway. And so I tend to think of it in those terms. Like, all right, see you later. It's really not going to make any sort of difference. So, and I like the flexibility. The next piece to me is, okay, how do you replace it and how can you get one step closer?
So that's taking emotion out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're probably right.
Yeah, but the emotional part of it is real.
How does it feel?
Oh, not good.
Ooh, it doesn't feel, ooh. Like,
it's never good when a good player leaves you.
I mean, I think Al sort of represented your system perfectly. It's about the basketball, no nonsense. It's about the program and team basketball and doing all the right things, and that's the best of what the Celtics represent. And he fit that perfectly. And he doesn't want to be here? Ooh, ow. Like, I like Al. I don't love him. Certainly, you could say he was overpaid for the max money, and 4 years at $25 million sort of would have been silly. I get it. It, to me, though, the sort of what it represents is really the mark that it leaves. I mean, this was the guy that started the ball rolling in the other direction. He's the guy that started to make this a destination. Remember that? It was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, that weekend in the Hamptons where the Celtics are at Durant's house and they're coming out of Durant's house and the news breaks that you've got Al Horford. And suddenly you're like,
it's happening.
What's going on? And then it was a summer weekend. I can't remember.
Yeah, it was 4th of July weekend.
I was on the beach, and it's like for an hour and 90 minutes.
You thought Durant was coming,
too. You were sitting there saying, what has Danny got up his sleeve? What's that? And, you know, for that 90 minutes, you thought that was on the table. But anyway, Al started that whole ball rolling, and now he doesn't want to be here?
See, especially when you consider, too, the kind of guy he is.
It's perfect for them.
Right. What he values and relative to other NBA players. Like, he's a guy that would value a quality operation, a championship team, a winner.
Right.
All of that.
Coaching, the program, the whole thing.
I mean, hell, he was willing to come here in the first place for those reasons.
Right.
Right? And so now what he's telling you is, I don't think those things are there anymore. And so, yeah, look, again, emotionally, sure, it's a blow.
I'd feel better if they fired him versus him quitting. I guess that's pretty much what it's coming down to. You know, he wasn't fired, he quit. And I get the sense that if the Celtics, you know, Gary Washburn in the Globe says they should go 4 years and 25 and match the offer and go out and take a chance and sign him. Or, you know, match whatever's out there. If they matched whatever's out there, do you think he's still here?
Ooh. Probably not.
Yeah, probably not.
No.
He could get the same money.
I'm hemming and hawing. The answer is no, because he'd have a better chance of winning somewhere else.
Exactly. So, I mean, like, that's a whole piece to it, right?
Sure it is.
I mean, I'm not going to stay here and just be a babysitter for a 5 seed. I could go back to Atlanta and do that. I'd spent my whole career being that.
No, if he's being offered that, you know, the Celtics match it and say it's from the Clippers or maybe Golden State. Like, no, he should leave because he should get himself a title before his career is over. If it's Brooklyn and he leaves still, oh boy, isn't that an indictment on what's going on with the Celtics right now?
Well, I'll tell you what, though, like, let's see how that shakes out, too, because that might be a good call, too.
Well, so on the floor, I think Al and Kyrie play off each other beautifully.
They do. They work great together.
They're terrific.
Yeah, they do.
They're like...
That little two-man game at the top is excellent.
There were many nights with the Celtics where they came out in the second half and said, okay, it's just me and you, and it was tremendous. They play off each other tremendously. So I think Horford and Kyrie on the floor are terrific. Jeff Goodman says he'd be... Jeff Goodman tweeted today something along the lines of, if Kyrie goes to Brooklyn, you can cross that off Al's list, implying that there's an off-court thing there with Al and Kyrie, and who could blame Al if he felt that way, because Kyrie is an insufferable a-hole. So, who could blame Al if he felt that way? But on the floor, ooh, that would make a tremendous amount of sense.
Yeah, no, they work well together. In fact, there were times I thought that was about the only thing the Celtics could rely on, was that little two-man game where, Horford sets a screen, Irving goes around it, Horford pops out and gets a wide-open shot. Hell, it just felt like they were doing that to Milwaukee in game one. There is what they were running all the time.
I felt that was there whenever they wanted it, in fact.
Yeah, it was, that to me felt like about one of the few things that they could do with consistency. So I'd be surprised if he ended up in Brooklyn. I told you, I think the Clippers want him. I can't imagine that a team like Golden State wouldn't want him. If you're a team that you think you're a player or, a role player or two away.
Oh, he's great.
Oh, he's perfect for you. Perfect. He's a total pro. He'll do whatever it takes to win, from setting a pick to shooting a three. And not bitch about any of it.
Right. Total buy-in. So that happened. Do you think the Celtics deserve any criticism? Gary Washburn, Gary Washburn, who we read religiously, in and around his column saying it's time for the team to take some chances and sign Al and go give him that fourth year, which I disagree with.
Just feels desperate.
But basically, Gary Washburn says the Celtics have been preparing for the future for so long that the present has been slipping away before their eyes. He says basically they just haven't been aggressive enough. I'll read you another line here. He says, there's an unsettling feeling in Boston. The premonition that what Ainge has built is about to collapse quickly, primarily because they didn't take enough chances. Do you feel that?
No.
I know Jones at night does. He's been yelling about this for years now, so there's people that feel that way. I don't. Well, so much went wrong that you can't foresee what the hell has happened with this team in the last 12 months plus.
I think for the most part, he's done the right things.
Me too.
But to say you can't go back and second guess some things is silly. I heard the Midday Show talking about this. What did you want him to do differently? I don't know. How about offer Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard? Is that one?
Sure.
Is that when you could say that they had on the table and they could have easily beaten Toronto and it was right there for them to include Jaylen Brown?
That's fair.
But when you look at the situation when that was offered to them, they got a game within the NBA Finals without their two All-Stars and Gordon Hayward, who was hurt, and Kyrie Irving, who ended up getting hurt. They were going to add those two. You got a game within the Finals. You were adding those two. What the hell did you think was going to happen? What we all thought. They were going to run through the East. They were going to get to the Finals and have a competitive series against the Golden State Warriors.
And how did that analysis work out for them?
Not great.
They were wrong. Right. So, Walt Felger, that's hindsight. Yep, exactly. That's how you do that. That's what you do. That's how you do it with any trade, any move. That's how you judge it. You wait to see how it played out, and then you see if the team was right or wrong.
Yeah, and it's easy to say, duh,
but that's the job. That's the whole thing. That's what you do. You wait to see how it works out, and then you dial it back to the time you made the decision, and you say, did we make the right one or the wrong one? That's the only way to judge it. You judge in real way. Give a draft grade the day after the draft? That's moronic. You wait to see if the player can play or not, and then you say that's the good pick or not. Same thing with trades or moves. So, yes, you could explain the rationale at the time. They were wrong. Why is that not second-guess worthy?
No, it is second-guess worthy. Totally second-guess worthy.
We all were wrong. Fine. We all were wrong.
Yeah.
We all were wrong. No, so were they.
Yeah. Look, I think there's other ones, too. You look at Paul George and the fact that he signed in Oklahoma City, and I'm going back a few years now. At the time, I'm always of the mindset, man, those guys with 1 year left, that's scary. I don't know if I do those. That one worked out. So could they have kept Paul George if they brought him here? Maybe. Maybe that's another one they missed. I don't think it's wrong to look at that. But the idea that Ainge has not taken any risk, like this is, and again, going back to what Murray was saying about Jones, and I've heard Adam say this at night. Well, what was the Kyrie deal?
Yeah.
They did make a deal.
And it turned out it blew up in their face.
Right. But it's not like they didn't make any deal. Like, it would take some risks. Well, they did. Kyrie was a risk. That's the way I look at it. I sort of say, well, wait a minute. You're not going to make all of those deals. Were we happy with the one they made? I was. Now the thing blew up. It blew up. I'd make the Kyrie deal again, though. I'm with Ange on that one. I don't feel like the cost for that was at a point where you'd say, no way. And maybe this is the problem with having some of the players they have who are high picks, Tatum and Brown, that you look at it and you say, oh, man, it's got to be a guy who's under contract for a while or I'm not giving up those pieces. So maybe that's the downside of having those high picks. Okay. But absolutely second-guessable.
Those are our opening thoughts on Al Horford. What are yours? To you right after this.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
I'm going to give you a couple names quickly. You tell me where they're playing next NBA season. Al Horford.
I'm going to say Boston.
In years to come, I feel like this will open the doors for many other, you know, big free agents. You have to consider this is a special place.
Celtics down one. They have never led. Horford catches. 5 seconds to go. Horford pulls his way in, forces it up and in. The Celtics have the lead.
I need something to eat.
Horford, as much as you think he's a great player, he's not a great player. He's, you know, get a man on him, and he has trouble scoring.
I didn't see it. That's his opinion. You got to respect it.
You respect that?
I do. And that's his opinion. That's how he feels.
Smart against LeBron. Left side. Avery open. Three. Kicks in.
Al, huge win. What are the emotions right now?
It's big. It's big. A lot of people doubting us out there. Thought we were finished.
What made the difference tonight?
Heart. We got heart. This team got heart. I know we got beat bad, but, you know, it's all about how you rebound, and we bounce back tonight.
Can you tell me your theory on Al Horford again about the 12 points?
they made me retire when I was having that many points.
You just have to wait and see what we're going to do as a team, and that's the management's going to do taking forward and continue to, you know, to get better.
Al Horford is declining his $30 million player option for this season. He had talked with the team. He and his agent, Jason Glushon, had talked about doing a new deal at the start of free agency. Those talks have come to an end, and Al Horford and the Celtics are both moving forward with the expectation that he will not return.
A little look back at Al Horford's career here in Boston, courtesy of Jimmy Stewart. You know, you heard a cut there from his introductory press conference. And he says his signing, he admits his signing, maybe this will open the door for other players to come here. This is a special place. They'll see what a special place this is. And I think that was true, that intangible quality when he first signed here. I believed that. I think it was true. I think it helped open the door for Kyrie to want to come here via the trade and Hayward and all those things. And so you had that benefit when he signed. I kind of now feel like the opposite, that he's leaving.
I mean, it's totally logical and fair to think of it that way.
That's just sort of that, you know, that's what I'm talking about. Is he worth that contract that he's going to get? Probably not. Does he make sense for you here for this current stage in your development? Maybe not. But that feeling like him coming here had started something. Now him leaving, I sort of would feel the opposite. And that's sort of the worry about this whole thing.
I mean, he gave them credibility. Is what he gave them organizationally and as a team on the floor. you know, look, again, Horford alone wasn't going to bring them a championship. But you looked at Al Horford, you said, no, that guy's a legitimate player in the league. He's been around a long time. He's a total pro. Like, he gave them credibility, and now, you know, they've lost some of that.
Okay, your reaction, as promised, Mike and Cranston. Why don't you lead us off? Go ahead, Michael.
Hey, guys. I don't like saying this because I really do like Danny, and I do like Brad. But I don't think we're far off from having a conversation about maybe kind of resetting the coach and the GM in a league where, you know, players don't want to play in a system, in a league where players want control of where they play. I don't know if having the most volatile GM and a guy who wants to fit a system is helping players get here. And I really like them. I think they're good, you know, great coaches, great GMs. I just don't think they're the right fit for today's NBA, and it's unfortunate.
Okay. I don't think that's an unfair point. Not that they're going to swap out the coach and GM anytime soon. Wick believes in them too much. And they're frankly too good, and they're not going anywhere, and I don't think they should go anywhere. So I'm putting that piece to the side because I don't believe that. But to say that the Celtics are a little too system-oriented and that's not what NBA players are looking for, that's a fair thing to bring up.
No question it is. Yeah, and again, I think it hurt them last year. So, you know, and I think this all relates to Stevens as much. And Ainge's real sin in this whole thing, if that's what you want to call it, and is that I think that he just didn't recognize that players are going to be territorial about their playing time and their shots, and he thought it would go away, and it didn't. He overrated or overestimated the maturity of his players.
Yeah, he thought, well, or that, well, he thought he was back at Old Hickory.
Yeah. Again, he thought they would buy in, and they didn't. They didn't. Now, some of that I put on Stevens. But, like, when you hear some of the comments that Jeff Goodman has had and, you know, the system didn't fit Kyrie and that's not the way Stevens wanted to play, it's almost like, you know, Kyrie was the wrong fit for us. Well, then what'd you trade for him for? Right? Like, so
that's another fair second guess?
Yeah, I think they're sort of stuck in there a little bit. Like, Ainge wants the players, Stevens wants the system. So which one is it?
I think that's a fair thing to bring up for sure. Brenton Cambridge, what do you got?
Yeah, New Orleans and the Lakers were looking for a third team because New Orleans didn't want that number four pick. They wanted an established player, an all-star player. If you're the Celtics, and I'm sure the last thing you want to do is help facilitate a trade for a player you've coveted to a team you hate. But you know you're losing Kyrie. You know AD doesn't want to come here. He won't re-sign. So at the end of the day, what would you rather have? Gordon Hayward for two more years at $30 million per or the number four overall pick? I just don't see why you don't pick up the phone. Help facilitate that trade. You're not getting him anyway. Move on from Hayward. Get that number four overall pick and continue to build for the future.
Oh, I love
now,
that.
Now Horford's out the door too.
I love it.
It just seems like.
So New Orleans and L.A. are looking for that third team because New Orleans wants a player, not the pick. So you offer New Orleans Hayward for the fourth pick. Then that helps New Orleans get Davis to the Lakers, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. Would you trade just in a vacuum? Would you trade Gordon Hayward for the fourth pick?
Value-wise, I think he's better than that if he's healthy, but my answer is yes.
Jimmy Stewart, would you trade Gordon Hayward for the fourth pick?
Yes.
Yesterday?
Yeah, I would do it too just to get rid of Hayward.
I mean, he's gumming up your flexibility,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. That I think Hayward, if he's healthy, is better than what you're going to get in the fourth
pick. Of course. Right now you're looking at Hayward as a bad contract. It's
going
to be hung around your neck for the next 3 years.
But would I take a loss on the trade to rid myself of Hayward? Yes. Yeah.
Because you still have this thing. We talked about it yesterday, and Jackie McMullen has some sound that we'll play for you coming up. It, you know, as much as Kyrie was a problem that peed in the pool and poisoned everything here, the Gordon Hayward issue was a major factor last year where guys resented Hayward's minutes and et cetera, et cetera. That hasn't gone away. Hayward's still here. Jaylen Brown is still here. Jason Tatum is still here. That's still redundant. There's still someone who's going to lose shots and minutes. That problem hasn't gone away.
Correct.
You still have to address that problem in one way, shape, or form. Someone's got to switch positions or a body's got to go or what? Or else you're still, that problem's still here.
Yeah, I want to see how that one shakes out because to me, that's still a problem. Is again, look at it in the simplest term. Let's just say Smart stays in his role and Rozier moves in for Kyrie. Well, one of those guys is going to sit if you're going to have a big man on the floor, whether it's Baines or Horford or some replacement of Horford.
Same issue.
Absolutely. Same thing. You got to figure that out.
Brandon in Boston. Go ahead, Brandon.
Hey, thanks for taking my phone call. If I could be really quick. Now, I think in order to get Bradley Beal, this is what I would do. I'll put in Jaylen Brown and Smart in a pick. You know, just to sweeten up the deal, you know.
So hold on. You would trade Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart, and a pick for 2 years of Bradley Beal?
He's averaging more than him put together.
Well, you understand that average went up because John Wall got hurt and someone had to take the shots? Your phone's mediocre if you could call us back. Bradley Beal had a career high in scoring, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't John Wall out for most of the year?
Yeah, I think Beal averaged like 25 points a game this past year.
He was the only guy.
Yeah.
He was. Someone has to take the shots, and I'm not. Bradley Beal's a great player. Am I giving up Jaylen Brown?
No. No, look, if you can get him for something less, and I doubt that you can. I mean, he's a good player and he can shoot. But the problem, everybody does this, the points per game. He averages this, he averages that. I don't give a rat's ass about what the points per game is. I don't care. I look at the skill level and does he fit? And he would in a lot of ways, but you're going to trade one of your two young centerpiece guys for him?
I would.
You would, Jimmy?
I would trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal, absolutely.
Why?
I think he's a better scorer, and that's what you need. And here's my fear on Jaylen Brown, is that he's Jeff Green, which is a player who the Celtics originally traded for Ray Allen. Bradley Beal is a close comp to Ray Allen. So maybe Bradley Beal is a first step to getting somebody else because he's got a friend in the league.
Jaylen Brown, you see his Instagram post today?
I didn't.
Jaylen Brown posted on Instagram. I'm sure we have it on NBC Sports Boston if you want to pop it up there. He's on vacation somewhere, Morocco, I don't know, Bangladesh, he's somewhere. I don't care where he is. He's with another dude standing there on the stairs, and I don't know who or care who the other dude is. So, you know, the way these kids do it now on social media, they have these double meanings, and he can easily say this doesn't mean what we think it means. But the caption of him and another guy standing on the stairs in Madagascar or wherever is, quote, "Would rather walk than ride with bad company." So I'd rather walk than ride with bad company.
Well, you know who that's a shot at.
Well, how do we know it's Kyrie and not Al, too?
How do we know it's not both of them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if anyone got picked on among the young guys.
Brown.
It was Brown.
Yeah, and it was especially Kyrie.
And Marcus Smart was on his case, too. But they were all on Jaylen Brown's case all year long.
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, I don't know. What do I know, right? I'm not living in that locker room every day, but I don't think it's Horford. Who could hate Horford?
Kyrie Irving, that's who.
Okay, but that's a Kyrie problem. That's not a Horford problem. This is what I'm getting at. This is Jaylen Brown saying, you could take me to the title as that guy's wingman and I'd be pissed. I'd rather be without him. I'd be a happier person.
Yeah, but nobody's universally liked. I hate people that people like and say are nice.
Yeah, but so fine. Whether he hates Horford or Kyrie or some combination or whatever. Is this a guy who'd rather walk than win a championship with guys he doesn't like?
So I see your point.
I mean, see, this is my concern, that he'd rather walk, he'd rather be a middler, but like his teammates, than win championships and have to battle with his teammates.
See, I think he wants to be the man. You might be right. I mean, I'm just telling you.
I'd rather walk than ride with bad company.
Yeah, that bad company was some serious a-holes. So, you know, comfort is paramount to these guys' success. So let's see. Hopefully,
what does he care? He's already won his second title. He won back-to-back this year.
He's on the way.
Because they beat the Warriors the year before. So what's it matter?
He's on the way to six.
Yeah, he is. He's on the way. Yeah, he's already, you know, third of the way there.
He's got two there.
Yep.
Yeah, piece of cake.
And hooking up with that the gal who interviewed him.
Yeah, what's her name again? Taylor Rooks?
Taylor Rooks, yes.
Wow.
Would rather walk than ride with bad company. Huh. Is that really his mindset? That we could have been great, but I hate those guys. So I'd rather be a middler where I'm the man, or I like my teammates, whatever the case may be. Well, there's some troubling signs with Jaylen Brown. Don't get me wrong.
Oh, yeah. No. I think there's some, you know, in terms of personality traits, there's a little bit of Kyrie there.
I just think, Jimmy, you're pot committed now with these young kids. So ride them. I, you know, if you're not going to trade this guy for Kawhi Leonard or Anthony Davis, why are you going to trade him for Bradley Beal? Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me.
I feel like Bradley Beal is a better player, and you need scorers on this team. You need shooters. Bradley Beal actually would be a perfect fit for the Lakers.
Yeah, what's that going to do?
Okay, we're talking about here.
No, like, I see Jimmy's point.
No, I want him here. I would want him here. But I'm saying, in the grand scheme of the NBA, he's a perfect fit for LeBron James and Anthony Davis.
Okay. So I see Jimmy's point. You put Beal with Tatum, potentially two good scorers there.
I understand.
But I actually think Brown improved last year. I like Brown now.
Okay, here's an update from...
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is Bob Soucy. The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon. As a runner myself representing the Flutie Foundation at the 2022 Boston Marathon, I'm proud to have been a teammate to many amazing Adaptive Program runners, achieving their dreams at the greatest race in the world. The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit Flutie Foundation. Foundation.org to get involved.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Where it really went wrong was with the team chemistry.
Yes, and I think, and you hate to pick on Gordon Hayward because he was coming back from an injury and he was doing the best he could in a tough situation, but I really think that's where it started. They were force-feeding Gordon Hayward on his teammates. Brad knew Gordon well, wanted to give him his confidence back. You know, I would contend that Brad Stevens would have done that for any player on that roster that had had a catastrophic injury. He would have wanted to fill him with the same confidence, but that's not what happened. What happened was he gave those the benefit of the doubt over and over and over to a player who wasn't ready, to a guy who had history with him, and it rankled that locker room. And it bothered that locker room. And then I think they drew conclusions from it that probably weren't even fair or accurate, but it doesn't matter. If you feel that way, then it's real. And that's where it started, in my opinion.
Jackie Mack on NBC Sports Boston last night, that whole Gordon Hayward issue, that has not gone away. You still have Jaylen Brown and Gordon Hayward and Jason Tatum. And there's going to be minutes unless someone plays out of position, or there's still going to be, and even if they're all on the floor at the same time, shots rolling the offense, etc. There's a redundancy there. That has not been addressed, will it? Adam Himmelsbach of the Globe just tweeted out, thanks to T-Bone for walking that in. He knows I need the actual copy.
These tweets aren't real until I can hold them in my hand.
You just do Twitter on your own time. And then, let me know what's going on there. Adam Himmelsbach.
Give me the highlights.
Yeah, right. Adam Himmelsbach writes, have heard from a few places today that some teams near the top of the draft are wondering about Jaylen Brown's availability. That's sort of a backdoor way to get that out there. Some teams are wondering about Jaylen Brown's availability.
Okay, well, it's not New Orleans because they're taking Zion.
Why would it not be New Orleans?
Because New Orleans has the fourth pick, too.
But they don't want the fourth pick. Would you trade Jaylen Brown for the fourth pick? Why does Jaylen Brown not make sense for New Orleans?
Oh, so I was going just for the number one pick. Because I wouldn't trade.
Oh, yeah, not number. No.
No, that's what I totally spaced
New
on.
New Orleans has four.
Yeah, because I forgot about the Laker deal. So New Orleans could be at number four. Yeah, I wouldn't do that. No.
You're the Celtics.
No, I wouldn't. I
Drew Holiday and the fourth pick.
Oh, so, well, now if you throw someone else in, now you're talking about something different. Would I consider it? Sure.
Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, they just now got all these guys.
Yeah. No, I would. I'd have to get into the top three to move Jaylen Brown.
Top three.
Mm-hmm.
That's high, Mez.
He was drafted third overall, and he's a good player.
Yeah. He's good. But what
Jimmy,
if,
go ahead, Jimmy.
What if they think, like Jay Stu does, that he's Jeff Green? Or they maybe like, who's a Cam Reddish, the other kid from Duke, who might be around like 6 or 7. Maybe they trade with Phoenix, something like that, if he drops a little bit.
Stu, what?
So the Celtics won't trade Jaylen Brown for Kawhi Leonard last summer, but they will trade him for Holiday and the fourth pick in a bad draft. Terrible.
Let's not get them in trouble. That was just something I just came up with on the fly.
And I almost swore again.
Right. The whole thing about is Jaylen Brown available. There's still that issue there on the wing.
There is no question about it.
And are they going to turn the team over? Would you rather have Gordon Hayward or Jaylen Brown?
Jaylen Brown.
Jaylen Brown.
So what, they're going to trade the young kid to keep damaged good Gordon Hayward just to pay off that free agent signing or the coach's pet?
That doesn't feel right. It feels like you should be flipping that and Gordon Hayward should be available.
Who the hell wants Gordon Hayward? That's the problem.
Maybe the Miami Heat, so Mrs. Hayward would be happy.
Penelope does like South Florida.
Yeah, look, I mean, Brown's way more appealing in a deal for lots of reasons, right? He's younger, he's cheaper, all the above. Like, so if you're talking that kind of deal, it's going to have to be Brown. But the backlog is real. My concern is that, again, the Celtics are going to ignore the problem and say, no, we'll figure out we have less of an issue this year. And you know what? Meanwhile, Terry Rozier thinks he's Isaiah Thomas, the good one, and will want the ball more than ever, and you're going to have the same garbage again.
Danny in Worcester, go ahead, your thoughts.
If it was me and I was Danny Ainge, I would actually look to trade Gordon Hayward to Cleveland in a deal for J.R. Smith and possibly another player.
J.R. Smith, the guy who can't count to three? You can't count to that guy? J.R. Smith?
No, that's all they need is another a-hole.
Well, I mean, you did not survive the Kyrie Irving experience. Now you're, like, there's very few guys who I'd say are bigger nutballs than Kyrie Irving. J.R. Smith is one of them.
Oh, yeah, no, he's a complete whack job.
Yeah, at least Kyrie never threw hot soup on anyone.
I mean,
can we get J.R. Smith and DeMarcus Cousins on the same team? And why not sign Carmelo Anthony and go back and bring back the devil Ricky Davis?
You.
Why not have the new a-hole team?
Where's Lance Stephenson when you need him? Like, I mean, let's find the five guys worse. There's only about five guys worse than Kyrie, but let's find them, round them up, and bring them in.
I mean, we talk about like there being
J.R. Smith,
like there being five legitimate franchise players in that league. If you do the opposite, the five biggest jackasses in the league, he's in the conversation.
Bring Rondo back too. Why not?
Oh, he's on the list. Noah in Scituate. Go ahead, Noah.
Hey guys, I just want to talk about this. The general consensus now is that Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum are your guys of the future. But why is there this narrative that Jason Tatum's going to be here in 2 years? I mean, on his Instagram bio picture, it's him in a Duke jersey. In his bio, it says, I'm from the Lou St. Louis. He hasn't posted a picture with a teammate since December 25th, Christmas, and that was of him and Kyrie Irving. I mean, he's not exactly bleeding green. If you're
going to
say two guys bleed green, it's got to be Horford and Smart. Tatum's not one of them. Why do we think he's going to even stay?
Never mind all the go blues stuff. Love you, blues. Like him and John Hamm with the blues pom-poms. Never mind that thing.
And Jenna Fischer on top of it.
Right? That's a fair question.
I told you, I brought this up yesterday. Like the thing you should worry about if you're the Celtics now going forward is that you have Tatum and you have Brown because you drafted them. But when these guys are free agents, are they going to do the same thing? Are they going to leave? These guys are high picks. And so now with the movement, it used to be easier to keep these guys. But with the movement in that league now, the players have more power than they've ever had. So keeping these guys is a problem. It's a challenge.
Holy moly. Himmelsbach says he's heard from a few places today that some teams near the top of the draft are wondering about Jaylen Brown's availability. You know he's not going one. Who's sitting at two?
Memphis. And they just traded Conley, so they're going to take Morant.
And that's that point guard's nasty, man. That kid's
John Morant.
Nasty.
Yeah.
The third one's the Knicks. Is the Duke kid, right?
Yeah, R.J. Barrett, right.
Barrett. But isn't there a guy who's challenged him now in the third or fourth spot?
Culliver.
Yes.
Culver.
Yeah, you say the names, I think that's it. I don't know.
Kid from Texas Tech.
So there's a little bit of a battle for 3-4.
And then the Celtics are supposedly linked to a point guard, Garland, who is scheduled to go at number 4.
That would be Darius New Orleans. Garland of Vanderbilt.
Yep. Maybe that's what I was
Vanderbilt
thinking
Vanderbilt kid, yeah. And so look, there's a consensus out there that it's a 3-player draft, right? Zion's the clear number 1, and it's a 3-player draft. What if the Celtics think it's a 6 or 7-player draft? Like, and Ainge is...
I'd be with him on it. Like, I would trust his evaluation.
I mean, he's got a history of sort of going against the grain when it comes to that sort of stuff.
You bet.
Like, everyone says, it's a thin draft, and Ainge will say, not really. Like, so it's hard to know whether it's with him, a ploy to sucker people into bad moves, or whether he really believes that, because, again, a lot of times he's right.
Okay, so put that log on the fire. Long commercial-free segment is next, and a Kyrie Irving story to knock your socks off.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5. The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
What Brooklyn would like to have is not just Kyrie Irving, but a second star come in with him. And obviously Kevin Durant is that player. If they don't get a second star, it will be interesting to see if Brooklyn wants to have Kyrie Irving as a solo act. Yeah. That didn't go so great in Boston last year. And so we'll see if Brooklyn is still following through on just Kyrie Irving. Because if they don't take Kyrie Irving, they can just bring back D'Angelo Russell at a lower number, younger player. But their focus with the Nets, let's get two stars, Kyrie Irving, to try to get Kyrie Irving to go out and recruit KD for him to come together.
So that was an interesting little one from Adrian Wojnarowski as well. Wait, what? What? Sort of implying there that if Brooklyn doesn't get a second guy next to Kyrie, they'd consider turning down Kyrie because we don't want you alone. Which they might be smart in doing. That might show some real restraint on their part and some intelligence on their part. I just have a hard time believing it. The Brooklyn Nets are going to turn down a top 10 NBA player?
Which goes back to something I told you guys a few weeks ago, that the Nets have a lot of negative pointers on Kyrie Irving.
Interesting.
Yeah, they know he's an a-hole, a giant a-hole. So they need to cushion this somehow by bringing in another guy that can help him in some way, shape, or form off the court.
Because does Horford qualify? Al Horford qualify?
Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but again, you know, someone that could keep Irving comfortable. I don't know if Horford would do it, but yeah, of course he qualifies. I mean, I think so. The other thing is, I don't believe the report either. The Nets aren't going to want Kyrie if he's willing to go there.
Beggars can't be choosers there.
Please,
man.
In that league, you take any star, any real star.
But if they have some sort of reservations about Kyrie as a solo act, who could blame him? Who could blame him? And that would actually be if they're really trying to pair him with someone, whether that player is better than him or a one or a two or whatever, but just someone that mixes with him. That's a smart thing to do. It's what you, in fact, have to do. Which leads us to this. Heard this on the midday. They went to this a couple times, and I don't blame them. This is tremendous.
Awesome.
This is our guy, Doug Gottlieb. Remember when we had to listen to this?
No.
Yes, this guy in the CBS Sports Minute. Much better that we get to pick apart one thing that he says once every 2 years versus listening to him every single day.
Yep.
For 90 seconds at a pop. But Doug Gottlieb's filling in for Colin on Fox Sports. And this is what Doug got. Here's a Doug Gottlieb story on Kyrie Irving. Listen to this one.
I'll give you a story real quick from Boston.
Ooh.
A friend of mine told me this story.
Brad.
That Kyrie came in one day just to film. And again, it's not that Kyrie shows up late. He actually was the first one in film room. Walked up to Brad Stevens and said, Brad always, morning, good morning. What does government mean to you? That was Kyrie's good morning question. What does the word government mean to you?
So just stop.
Oh, my God.
Can you imagine dealing with someone like this in Seriously. Any workplace? I wouldn't wish that on anybody.
It's an insufferable a-hole.
These Seriously. Type of people that think they're dumb people that think they're smart. Like that's some of the worst people on the planet. And that's what Kyrie Irving is.
Fancies himself as a deep thinker.
Can you imagine being Brad, though?
Oh, poor Brad. How do you not feel for him here?
Shows up in the morning to go to work. Team has all sorts of problems. They're trying to figure it out. Film session. Here's Kyrie, first one in the film room. Oh, good sign. We can break down the high pick and roll. Hi, Kyrie.
What does government mean to you? That was Kyrie's...
Oh, my God. What?
Huh? What?
What?
Huh?
What does government mean to you?
Oh, my God. I wanted to talk about the pick and roll. I wanted to talk about the high screen with... Oh, my God. What?
What does government mean to you?
What?
Listen, man, we need to try to get ready for Milwaukee tonight. That's what we need to watch the film.
First thing out of the gates.
What does government mean to you?
So continue. continue, Jimmy. Continue.
This is great.
Continue.
That was Kyrie's good morning question. What does the word government mean to you? Not, hey, did you see that Laker game last night? Man, are they a mess. Not, how are we going to fix our ball screen coverage? Not, man, my knee feels great. Not, how are your kids? It was, what does the word government mean to you? And so Brad Stevens, at 8 in the morning, on his first cup of Dunkin', took a long sip.
Attaboy.
And went into some soliloquy saying absolutely nothing because he didn't know what sort of trap door any sort of word was.
So that stopped. That's my favorite part of the whole thing. It's like, all right, so hold on. He threw that at me. Now, I've got to humor him. I've got to answer this. But if I throw in the wrong word or answer this wrong, I've lost him.
Correct.
So how do I answer this without pissing him off? But I've got to play his game because he's Kyrie and we're all kissing his ass. So what does government mean to me? So he spews out some sort of nonsense word salad that means nothing, hoping he'll just get Kyrie off his back. And that's how he has to start his day.
Probably more days than one.
Finish the story.
And then he turned around on Kyrie and said, what's it mean to you, Kyrie? And Kyrie said, control. Very deep. Very, very deep.
So I'm curious what morning that was. Like, what if that was the morning after that Orlando game where they had a miscommunication on the final shot and Kyrie got all mad and called Bron? What if it was the morning after the Clippers game where he got hurt? They blew a 29-point lead. What if it was...
Pick a terrible home loss. Phoenix.
Right.
The
one of these horrible home losses. What if it was the game before he went to the All-Star break and played there but not here? And now it's like sort of at a crucial time internally. You're trying to figure things out. He comes in early to the team meeting and Brad says, hey.
What does the word government mean to you?
Oh, my God.
No, we can't play that enough. No, it's good they get the Dalai Lama playing point guard, for crying out loud, Confucius.
Imagine having to deal with this.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Basketball Confucius.
And I love it. It's like, okay, so, all right. Government means to me that the our forefathers wanted separations of checks and balances in church and state, and so we had the executive branch, the legislative branch, the judicial branch, and then we had the amendments to the Constitution. It means that all men are created equal, Kyrie?
Control.
No, man, it means control.
No, you don't ask
Kyrie
that question.
Said control.
You don't ask that question.
Very deep.
Wanting to hear an answer.
Very, very deep.
All you're waiting to hear is, what's it mean to you, Kyrie? Anyone that
and
says,
then he turned around on Kyrie and said, what's it mean to you, Kyrie?
Such a great point, Mario.
Any of these speak your mind people like this that just need, I need to be heard. I've got things to say. They don't want to hear what you have to say.
It's a good point.
They want to hear. They want you to hear what they have to say. That's, oh, God, he is just the worst.
No, they ask
the
you.
The worst.
No, and Gottlieb is right. They ask you the question, hoping that you'll answer it incorrectly so that they can tell you answer.
No. And Brad Stevens, he says, so how do I answer this? Because there's a trap in here. Because right. There obviously was a trap.
No question.
Like, guys, we said, well, that's what I thought you'd say. That's our problem, coach. You think that government means whatever. You know, there's a trap in there that's a
what
trick.
What does the word government mean to you?
So Brad gives him some word salad, just trying to get out of the effing thing.
Poor bastard.
Oh, my God. So this is what they had to deal with on a daily basis.
No, right. That's right. I'm glad you just said it that way. Daily basis. Because I guarantee you this was not a one-off thing.
And Murray, we knew this was coming, right? We knew that as soon as Kyrie was out the door, here comes the...
Oh, there's got to be more.
Maybe not the Larry Lucchino, you know, the manager was on drugs sort of thing in the Globe. And it may not reach that level, but we're going to start hearing the stories. We're going to start hearing the stories.
Where's the Marcus Morris podcast?
It's coming. And this is just the first indication. I don't believe Brad Stevens leaked that directly. Like, Gottlieb is a big college basketball guy. He was not just a college basketball player. Didn't he coach for a little bit too? Wasn't he? Somehow?
Sure.
I thought so.
Maybe.
Whatever. Him and Brad are tight, though, so I would suspect it would come from him.
Well, if not just Brad, Brad's staff. You know, all the little whippersnappers on Brad's staff. I'm sure Gottlieb is close with some of them, and I'm sure that was one of the stories that was going around with the Celtics coaches. Like,
imagine that, and if you're one of his teammates just sitting there, the things you want to talk about, maybe the upcoming game. What city has the finest women? Who can connect me with weed in Indianapolis? And this a-hole comes in and says,
What does the word government mean to you?
I don't know, man. Oh, what's it mean to you, Kyrie?
What's it mean, Kyrie? Just give us your... tell us what's on your mind so we can now get back to the low screen and talk about how we got out-rebounded last night. Because we're actually trying to win ball games here.
Oy vey.
Seriously. This guy.
PUD.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. PUD. P-U-D. PUD.
I would say that is the most value, though, Doug Gottlieb has ever brought to the program. So I want to thank him for that story. Back to your phones, I promise, right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name's Mike Palmer, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.
Roto-Rooter.
Plumbing problem? Leaks are no match for DIY duct tape. And a wrench. And a towel, more duct tape, a hammer, this random tube I found in the basement, another bucket, more tape, a little more tape. Perfect.
Maybe leave plumbing to the pros at Roto-Rooter.
Roto-Rooter.